This is the Rental Income Podcast, where we talk to owners of rental properties and give you actionable tips and advice that will help you make more money while dealing with less hassle. And now your host, Dan Lane.
I put together a list of 7 things that I wish I knew earlier about renting properties, and you can download your free copy. Just go to my website, freelandlordgift.com. Well, today we've got a really inspiring show for you. Susan Zoe is joining me on the phone. And Susan, I want to make sure that I tell your story right. So keep me honest here. But you own 3 rental properties, right?
Currently, I do. I sold a bunch throughout the last few years. So gone to 3.
Combined between 3 of the properties, you make $6,000 a month in rental income, right?
True, yes.
Okay. So I think that is really awesome, and this is not your full time job. You've got other things that you're doing, but the rental income is basically good side money, right?
True. Yes.
Okay. So now I want to find out exactly how you did this, because I think a lot of our listeners would maybe have a similar goal to try to get some side money, some extra money coming in. I mean, you could get a part-time job, or you could own some rental properties. Now, as far as the actual work that goes into managing your 3 rentals, how much time a month do you think you spend managing your properties?
Actually, my tenants are really good. They are long-term tenants. Very rarely I need to, answer an emergency call. So really not that much work, actually.
So would you say maybe 5 minutes a month?
Probably.
That's
I also
awesome.
Manage a few properties for my clients because I also a licensed realtor.
Okay.
So between my own and the 3 others I'm managing, probably, every month I need to deposit checks and maybe once in a year or twice in a year, I need to send a repairman to do some service call. And it's really low maintenance for now.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's the thing, too, that I think a lot of people that are just starting out don't realize is you don't need to know how to fix a refrigerator, or you don't need to know how to fix things. You just need to know how to call somebody to get it fixed,
true,
right?
Yes.
So. Yeah, you're not. You've probably never fixed a refrigerator in your life, right?
No,
it's just not something you need to know. So take me back. Let's figure out exactly how you got into the position that you're in today. How did you get your first property, or how did you find the first property?
Okay, back in 2000, I actually got a job relocation from New Jersey to Herndon. So I started right away to buy a house to live in. Mm-hmm. So I bought a house in Reston in 2000. And I was pretty much single during that time. So I had a 4-bedroom townhouse. And after half a year, I felt, what a waste of space. So I started renting out rooms in my own home. And so I had no problem filling up the rooms because Reston has a lot of transient people.
Mm-hmm.
And good tenants. Of course, I learned my hard lesson. I didn't really get a good tenants in the beginning because I didn't know better.
Right, right.
But overall, after 2 years, I basically leave the house there for free because my tenants paid my mortgage. And by 2002, the tech bubble bursted.
Mm-hmm.
And I lost all the money invested in the stock market. And epiphany that time, because I looked at my investment in the real estate. The housing market was booming.
Mm-hmm.
Equity just keeps going up. And my tenants pays for my expenses. And then I realized from that moment on, I will invest only in stock, real estate.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, not much in stocks anymore. So I want to be buying properties and keep buying properties. So as soon as I could save up down payment. So then I bought my first rental property in D.C. in 2004. Not the best time,
mm-hmm.
but I'm glad I bought it, took action, first step.
Right,
And ever since, you know, from 2004 to 2006, I basically, my goal was buy two properties a year. And on my third property or second rental property, I did not wait until for me to saving up a down payment. I basically tapped into the home equity accumulating the other houses. So I was able to buy pretty much two properties a year.
So let's explain that for anyone that doesn't understand. So the first property had gone up in value. So you were able to open up a home equity line of credit, and yes, you could basically take the equity that you have in the house that's just sitting there, and you could essentially write a check of your using your equity and use that as a down payment for the second house.
Second rental house. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And I start to, you know, I bought two properties in Reston in 2000. I bought one in Reston in 2005, another one in Reston in 2006 on the same street. And then I bought a condo in Maryland that time in 2004. And so, and I have all the property rented out. But then the 2006 come along, and all of a sudden, because by 2005, I was licensed as well, because I figure, why not get a license for myself?
Right.
Do this long term. So I was licensed since 2005. And so I was actively doing real estate in the market. And in 2006, I felt the market just, you know, not moving anymore. And you know, and I was losing sleep at night because...
When the market not moving, you were seeing like the houses just weren't selling anymore?
Yeah, you know, a lot of sell signs and a house just don't sell fast enough. And I realized I was very, very leveraged because I tapped into my home equity line. So in addition to my mortgages, first mortgages, I also accumulated up to 196,000 dollars from my home equity line.
Wow!
So then I feel like I'm playing a music chair because I was really relying on my tenants to pay me the rent, and then there were times I have to ask them, "Can you pay a little bit sooner?"
Yeah. So how many properties did you have at this point?
I had four rental properties, I have five rental properties at that time.
Okay.
And also...
How much debt would you say you had between all the properties at that point?
Let me think. 20. I probably have close to $800,000 debt.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So then I was losing sleep because I felt if one person stopped paying me, the whole scheme will...
Sure, yeah. Or if you had a vacancy trying to pay the mortgage that month. Sure, yeah, there's a lot of things that could go wrong. So then at that point, you decided you were going to scale down and start...
At that point, I decided to stop buying anymore, and I was focusing on paying down my debt. So from 2006 to 2008... I paid down I paid down the home equity line I have taken out, and also paid off one house. My first house was completely paid off that time. From 2008.
And that was the house you were living in that was paid off?
It was my first house. I lived there for 4 years. I moved out in 2004 because I bought other house, and then I moved into that house in order to qualify for
interest rate.
So I moved every 2 years from 2004 to 2008.
Well, that's a really good strategy. So let me just, for anyone that doesn't understand, so when you are going to buy a house and you're going to live in it, it's a lot easier to get qualified for a mortgage if you're going to live there. You can have a smaller down payment. The bank sees it as less risk. When you're going to buy a house as a rental, you typically need 20 to 30% down. But if you're going to buy a house and you're going to live there, you can find loans where there's like a 3% down payment or even 100% financing. So is that what you were doing? You were using a small down payment to get into?
I think I did try to put down 10%.
Okay.
mostly it's because interest rate is better.
Right. That's so, true. Also,
yeah. And also, I didn't want to get into trouble with the bank, so I actually moved in there.
for a
year. Yes.
So you would live there, and then you lived in each house for 2 years, and then you would turn the old house into a rental, and then you would buy a new house as a primary residence and qualify for the better interest rates and the smaller down payment.
True.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I did it that way, but probably it's not going to work for everybody. It's a lot of hassle. But
right. Yeah. A lot of moving around.
Easy. Pick up and go. So.
Right. At the peak, how many? So you had five houses at the peak of the market?
I also have a percentage of ownership in a residential apartments.
Okay.
In another state. So I was a part owner of that. IRA money, I was able to do that project with a few other partners.
Okay, that's interesting. So you had a couple of partners. You put your money together and you bought an apartment building?
We bought four apartment buildings in Syracuse, New York. I think a total, we probably had 140 units among the four buildings.
That's awesome. And that was totally passive. You obviously don't.
I was passive. Actually, I was passive. And actually, I learned some lessons from that venture.
What did you learn from?
Well, partnerships sometimes don't really work very well if you don't know the people or don't trust the people that well. So, and then we had a lot of infights in the end. And basically, I withdrew my investment after a few years. And I rolled that money into a condo I bought in 2009 in Reston. And actually, that one I sold last year.
Okay.
Gave me a very good return.
All right. So as far as getting your houses paid off, so when you sold the condo and you took the profit from that and you paid down loans, how did you get the other loans paid off?
So basically, right now, all my investment properties paid off free and clear. Mm-hmm. So how I did that, I basically consolidated. I used to have properties spread out in, other states like Maryland, D.C., mm-hmm. even though they're not that far, but I felt still a lot of hassle just go there. And I decided to focus in Virginia, Northern Virginia.
Okay.
So first off, I sold those properties and was able to apply the proceeds gains from those sales towards my, rental property in Northern Virginia. And secondly, I really, cutting back on expenses. There was time I was treating this as a race. I actually print out the amortization table,
mm-hmm.
and I highlight the time and highlight the balance I have paid down and how much further I have gone, So I was treating that as a race.
Right.
That. So very quickly I paid off, maybe in 2 years, I paid off all the other three properties.
Yeah, that's a real powerful thing with those amortization tables. So if you look at how much money is going to, when you make your mortgage payment, a certain amount is going to paying the interest and a certain amount is going to paying the principal. And if you pay a little bit extra, even if it's maybe $100, that might take a month off your mortgage. So the more money that you pay every month, you're just knocking month after month after month off your loan. So you can really get a loan paid down. But by not actually paying that much more money, you can actually take years off your loan. So that's exactly what you're doing, right?
Yes. Yeah. True. I'm, of course, a little bit too conservative. But that make me able to sleep at night. So mm-hmm. that was okay for me.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that is really, really awesome. So now you've got the $6,000 a month in rental income. And now you've got some expenses. You've got to pay taxes. You've got to pay insurance, the occasional repair that might come up. Out of that $6,000, how much do you think you actually keep every month? And how much do you think actually goes into the expenses of operating the house?
I think my major expense is really tax bills. So that can run among three properties, probably $10,000 a year.
Okay. Okay.
So, and I think I was able to keep probably $40,000, $50,000 a year. Net.
Wow. That is really, really awesome. So $40,000, $50,000 a year on the side, not even working more than a few minutes a month. That is really, really awesome. Well, Susan, congratulations. I am really, really proud of you. I think that is just an awesome, awesome thing that you've accomplished. Now, I want to get into the lightning round with you. But before we do, I want to see if you can help out one of our listeners. So I was talking over email the other day with one of our listeners. Her name is Jess, and she really wants to get started owning rental properties. And she's trying to learn everything she can right now, but she's afraid to take action. What's holding her back is that she thinks she's going to maybe make a bad investment or do something that's going to jeopardize her financial security. So what advice would you give her to go ahead and to get started?
Yes, I'd like to, suggest her just do it.
Yeah.
Just do it, because that's how I get started. I didn't know anything. I'm not handy by any means.
Mm-hmm.
And also a single woman.
Mm-hmm.
And when I bought my first property, I actually didn't get the best deal, but that got me started.
Right.
And the subsequent purchases, I don't think I got a best deal either, but that's also get me into the business, and I learned a lot ever since. So I think it's just get started. You will make mistakes along the way, but in the end of the day, will be enriching and a fulfilling experience. So I suggest her just do it.
And that I think is really good advice, because so many people I think get caught up in that they think they need to know everything before they get started, and they get stuck where they're just consuming information and they never actually take any action. They just consume a bunch of podcasts, they read a bunch of books, and they get a bunch of information in their head, but they're afraid that there's still more that they need to know. And you're never going to know everything. I mean, you've been doing this for 15 years. Do you feel like after 15 years, you know everything there is to know about real estate?
No, actually, I feel like I knew less, because when you don't know what you don't know.
Right, right.
And you know enough, the circumference with unknown is getting bigger. So now, I think I'm more cautious than when I was very green.
Right.
Because I have no fear. I have no reason to fear. Now I do have reasons to fear.
Right.
So I actually proceed more cautiously now.
Yeah, that's really good. So, all right. So bottom line, just do it. Just get started. Just take action. One thing that I told her, and let me get your opinion on if this is good advice. I told her to set a date, to pick a time, whether it's 3 months from now, 6 months from now, a year from now, just set a date and say, I'm going to learn everything that I can in the next 6 months. And 6 months from today, I'm going to buy a house. Do you think that's a good idea to set a date?
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
There's no bad time, worst time. There are always good opportunities. You just have to make plan and, of course, learn as much as you can, but don't get paralyzed. Just do something, small steps in the beginning. But that's great advice, I think.
Yeah. All right, Jess. Well, you got to take some action. We're going to be waiting to hear it that you've bought your first place. So definitely let us know. So, all right. Well, it's time now for the lightning round. So we got five rapid fire questions in 60 seconds. Susan, are you up for the challenge? Do you think you can get the five questions in 60 seconds?
Okay.
All right. Let's do it. Okay.
Now, the Rental Income Podcast Lightning Round. Five rapid-fire questions and answers in 60 seconds.
All right. The first question is, what's your favorite real estate book?
Retire Rich, Retire Young by Robert Kiyosaki.
Okay, number two, the number one fear that I hear from people all the time on why they don't want to own a rental property is they don't want to get a call at 3 a.m. that a toilet's clogged. As a landlord, have you ever gotten this call?
Not at all.
Okay, number three, if you had a property sitting vacant for 6 months, you had a potential renter apply that had horrible credit and a spotty work history, would you take a chance on them and rent to them or let the property sit?
I will ask for co-signer if possible.
Okay. And number four, if you could give one piece of advice to a new landlord, what would it be?
Screen your tenants beforehand.
Okay. And number five, would you rent a property to your best friend?
Yes, why not?
Okay, great. Susan, we did it. Congratulations. We hit the 60-second mark. Great job. Well, Susan, do you want to tell our listeners where they could reach you if they wanted to reach out to you?
I actually work out of United Realty, and my cell phone number is 703-926-1709. If anybody want to give me a call or email me at realtorsusanjoe@gmail.com.
Sounds good. If you didn't catch that, we will have Susan's contact information, also a link to the book that she talked about on our show notes page. You can find that at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode 28. Also, if you are brand new and you're looking to get started owning rental properties, the very first thing you need to figure out is how you're going to pay for it. And there are a ton of financing options. And if you want to learn more about how to finance your first rental property, we have a training class you can take at rentalincomepodcast.com/finance if you want to get some more information about that. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.